on the left wing boards, picked up by Walker, feeds it down low, gets it back from Lewis, shoots, tip, save, score! Michael Amadio on the rebound!
This is an All the Kings Man post-game podcast. Now, here's your host, Jesse Cohen.
Welcome back, Kings fans. My name is Jesse Cohen. This is All the Kings Men. Well, the Kings gave up another third period lead, this time to the Nashville Predators. But right as you were talking yourself into accepting the moral victory of winning a point by getting to overtime, the Kings scored just as Dave Joseph announced the final minute of regulation. I don't think we have any idea who this team is yet, but it is a huge improvement over last season. We are high above the ice here in the Bob Miller Press Box at Staples Center for the first time in the 2019-20 LA Kings season. Joining me in the box, blew that one, Jack Jablonski. How are you doing today, Jack?
I'm good, man. It's great to be back.
And also joining us, Corey, a.k.a. Cody Wagner. How are you doing today, Cody?
Just doing tremendous. Thanks, Jesse.
Now, I blew it, everybody, and I brought three cables, and one of them is dead. So shame on me for not bringing an extra cable. I'm usually much more prepared than this. I wasn't a great Boy Scout, but I was a Boy Scout. Cody and I are going to be sharing a mic, so apologies if the sound drips off at the end of one sentence and fades in on, at the beginning of another one. Look, going into this game, Jack, before the game, I said, let's focus on the defense. Because the Kings finished their three-game road trip 1-2.
On a semi-sour note.
That's a very polite way of putting it. Realistically, I thought that they could have been 2-1 that first game in Edmonton.
Yeah, you know, they blew a lead in the
third
period.
It's becoming a trend.
I mean, how many does it take to become a trend?
Once is a fluke, twice is interesting, three times I think is officially a pattern.
All right. We're in a pattern.
But I do want to say, heading into this season, if you had told me that the Kings would have a lead in the third period to lose three games in a row, that would have been a tremendous improvement over last season, where what they were giving away was, oh, look, they might be clawing their way back. And oh, no, game's over. That's the end of that.
Yeah.
So I am choosing to be really upbeat about the fact that they've given up three third period leads. It's three, right?
Three out of four. They didn't have a lead in Vancouver, but
right. Well, fair point. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. what I really wanted to look at going into this game wasn't necessarily the defense. It was the buy-in, because Coach McClellan had some really pointed comments following the 8-2 loss of Vancouver. I had said previously, he had made two comments, one at his introductory press conference, or not press conference, but the State of the Franchise event, where he said, you know, we're about to start another marathon, and we don't know if the veterans, you know, veterans have to decide whether or not they're ready to run that marathon. And then after a preseason game, the split squad game in Arizona, he made a comment about maybe some of the veterans didn't, I can't remember the exact quote, but maybe they didn't have a great outing, but now we have some evidence. And after those two comments, I said, if I knew the coach's tendencies better, I would say that those are pretty unsubtle shots at specific players. Following the Vancouver game, I mean, he came out and he said there are guys who, you know, if they're not going to be there for us, they don't belong in this league.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's very difficult to suss out who he's talking about. So I was really curious in this game, you know, how they would look after comments like that. Jack, how did you think they looked?
Well, it was unfortunate to see the first goal go in off of, it was a bummer because Granlin just, you know, he perfect placement of the shot, but at the same time, you know, a goal that you'd like to see saved. Mm-hmm. But after that, flawless for two periods. And the Kings came out and, you know, from top to bottom, from Campbell to Kovalchuk or Kopitar all the way up front, I didn't see any problems. The effort was there. They outshot them 28-9 or something in the first two periods against a Nashville team who's looked at to be, you know, one of the front runners with the cup. So, you know, I understand we're in game 4 of 82, but based on the comments that McClellan had going into this game after what happened in Vancouver, perfect response. And, you know, we'll get to the third period, but that initial, you know, push 40 minutes, couldn't ask for much more.
He outshot him 29-12 after two.
Okay, I mean, just a little bit off.
But that's crazy impressive. Cody, your thoughts on the first two periods or on the just coming out after that 8-2 performance and the quotes from the coach? Oh, yeah, sorry.
Jeez. He needs a microphone.
Yeah, no, I'm
obviously really bad.
Exactly what Jack said. The first two periods were, I mean, two of the most dominant periods we've seen the Kings play in quite some time, yeah, probably. And against a Nashville team that's been a one of the premier teams in the Western Conference for the last few years and obviously looked at as a strong cup contender. It seems as though those comments from Coach McClellan didn't land on deaf ears. They did. There was obviously absorbed by some of the players on the lineup. In addition to that, some of the veteran players that he may have been that we alluded to before, maybe he'd been almost all but specifically calling out, there was some performance from the lineup, but maybe not the response from those veterans as he would have expected. Younger players like Sean Walker, Blake Lizotte, those guys filled in really important roles today.
Yeah, I mean, some of the vets showed up today. Some of them obviously weren't on the scoreboard, and there are seven goals, but three of them came in the last minute. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out as the future goes on in this road trip, or I mean this homestand. But I think it was interesting because, you know, the vets obviously are the ones who are taking the brunt of the hits when McClellan has comments, and you know that, you know, that's, you know, your whipping boy, at least so to speak, as McClellan is, you know, moving forward. And you know, not to say it's right or wrong, but I think what is interesting is, you know, the people who are responding right now are a lot of the young guys, and I don't know if that has to do with some of the experience they had from last year when they came up, whether it was people that were in this organization or not. But, you know, what is interesting is, you know, Campbell's response too. Campbell played phenomenal today. He has the only win and now has the only two wins for the Kings. But, you know, aside from that third period that was or wasn't his fault, which I think it kind of falls in between, you know, again, great performance on his behalf.
Responding to the comments from Tom McClellan after the 8-2 loss in Vancouver, a lot of the young players did have a good game, but like Jack alluded to, a lot of the veteran players did step up today. Dustin Brown with two goals, although they are empty net, two goals on the board nonetheless. Kopitar scored a goal. Kovalchuk scored
beautiful
a goal.
Goal, by the way.
Yeah, yes, gorgeous goal off a tremendous play from Dustin Brown that we might talk about later. And so, yes, Jack Campbell as well, played in a tremendous game. The only two wins, like you said, on the Kings record so far. Shades of the game in Edmonton where they kind of climbed out to it was a similar structure to the game in the beginning and gave up that third, you know, that third period lead. Today they were able to hold on and jump back on top of it and score those empty net goals and secure the win. So, I mean, you have to imagine that what McClellan said didn't completely fall on deaf ears, but it was, you know, more work to be done.
There's a really long pregnant pause. I apologize. I'm trying to.
I was just gonna try to insert something so people didn't think like pause the audio.
They come back after the three game road trip and Tobias Bjornfoot is taken out of the lineup. Martinez and Roy are split up. Ben Hutton is put with Drew Doughty. And the end result is, for me anyway, Martinez and Roy look like two completely different players. And
I mean, you know how that works. The chemistry, the whole, you know, here are my, so to speak, duties tonight. Mm-hmm. When people can open up and play different types of games, sometimes that brings the best out of them.
He also split up that second line that had looked so shaky. He winds up putting, for the most part, Jeff Carter on a line with Lizotte and Toffoli, Kovalchuk with Amadio and Lewis, and then Wagner back in the lineup with Kempe and Clifford. And for the fourth game now, we see this Kings team outshoot, out Corsi, out expected goals, whatever metric you want to use, whether they be remedial or, you know, super fancy. they look good when they look good.
They just look re-energized from last year.
Yeah.
And you know, I hate to harp on, you know, what happened last year, but it's so, so hard to come back every night when you start the season 2-15 or whatever they did, and to show up and just have the energy. And now you've got a fresh start, you've got a fresh coach with a fresh mindset, a new game plan, and just, you know, when you bring in a new coach, regardless of your history, it's an open slate. You know, you can make friends with the coach, you can make enemies, and he could put you on, you know, the bad list or the good list and play you all the time or sit you based on, you know, how he sees you in his system. So I think everyone's fighting for jobs. Everyone's fighting for ice time right now. And, you know, as of right now, you know, we saw how things ended on the road trip. You know, we've got new lines. We've got new defensive pairings. You know, he's still got to find what works for his system. You know, this isn't the Sutter system. This isn't the Sutter's, you know, little brother's system either. It's just one of those things where, you know, this is completely different. We brought in an outside person who's had success in this conference over and over. And, you know, maybe we can find some life in this current roster and keep making a push towards re-energizing this organization and this roster even more.
One of the things that I said on the pregame show on iHeartRadio's LA Kings Audio Network, talking to Nick Nixon, was that I wanted to see not necessarily the X's and O's, not the impact of the coach on strategies and systems, but just on what you're talking about, Jack. And that is,
the E word was very, very, they brought it up themselves.
Yeah. It's fine to use as far as I'm concerned. But after that 8-2 game, and especially after the first goal went in from the Predators.
Again, not fluky, but not how a goal should go.
Right, and early in a game, they fight back. And then when Nashville scores those, you know, third period goals, and now we can get into it in a span of like one minute,
it seemed like.
Who in this building didn't expect the Kings to lose this game? I mean, Cody, you had to figure that the Kings were, at best, an overtime loss.
Yeah. I mean, we watched it happen in Edmonton, right?
Yeah.
We watched almost an identical situation. And so, yeah, I mean, watching the Kings.
Same thing with Calgary.
In Calgary,
too.
Right. And they came back and got the OT win, luckily for them.
Yep.
And tonight, it didn't require OT, or today, I should say. Didn't require overtime, but they came back and they sealed up the win. So, yeah, but especially when it was 4-3 and you start to get really nervous and you go, man, I bet you in the last minute of the game, here it comes. Nashville's going to score and they're going to get into overtime and the team's deflated. And now it's going to be, we're going to climb all the way back up the mountain. But luckily for them, they got the chances they needed. They buckled down. They got one in the net when they needed to. Iafallo with Johnny on the spot really figured it out. And, so it was great to watch in the third period.
Yeah, I mean, instantly we're already changing the common theme that we saw last year. And it wasn't, you know, as you talked to a little bit about this earlier in the pod, Jesse, you know, usually it's us coming back and then we fall short because we just give up a goal that, you know, pushes us too far away with not enough time. Well, this year, you know, last year we're used to seeing these leads just, they get blown away. And then all of a sudden, as you were talking about, you know, all right, yeah, here comes an overtime or a shootout loss. Well, this year, you know, thank goodness, because all of a sudden we're building these leads. Now we give them back, but we're still able to, you know, take them back again and end up with the W. So, you know, again, you know, we don't know where this team is going. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what the roster's future holds with, you know, people coming up and down and sending people wherever. But what we do know is it's a much better start than last year. There's more reason to be optimistic, you know, obviously given how we know what last year's ending was. But, you know, based on what McClellan has already been able to do, we can score goals. We've shown that. It's just a matter of, you know, can the goaltending kind of settle things down?
No.
Well, yeah, we'll find out. thank you for your opinion. but at the same time, you know, can we keep producing goals? And, you know, more importantly, can we produce goals on four lines?
I'm, again, this whole week, and it'll probably last for about a month, I'm just going to be trending towards the optimistic, because the reality is, like I said earlier, when they look good, they look good. And when they look bad, it comes in these little
bursts and spurts and
the goals are flipping in and you're just like, wow, how did that happen? Like we had a 2-goal lead. What just happened? And those are the sorts of things that over time you can iron out, you can weed out, whereas you can't iron
in. I think it goes both ways though.
Sure.
You can iron it out, but eventually it's going to come back.
But you can't teach a team to take a 4-goal lead.
Correct.
Or 4 goals into the third. Like, that's the sort of thing that requires work and effort and consistency, right?
Correct.
Giving up the goals, okay, any team can do that. and so you just have to figure out a way to stop doing it quite so often. But for a coach that talked about wanting to implement, you know, a shoot-first mentality and more shots on net and et cetera, I mean, they've done that. They're scoring goals.
Yeah, I think the reason to be so not only happy with how today's win ended, but just the way that we've seen this season go so far. For a team with a new coach and a new system and a new mindset to be able to build these leads, that's what's important. Now, you, as you said, you can iron out those details of, you know, whether it's a defensive breakdown or it's an effort issue or it's just a, you know, complacency, whatever it may be. You know, that with a new coach can be fixed, and you know, but what can't be fixed is not being able to score, and that's not a problem that the Kings are having.
And so obviously it's a very small sample size. It's 3 out of the last 4 games.
Yeah.
We won't count the Vancouver one, but one
<Why not? laughs>
third period lead given up, overtime loss, right?
Yeah.
One third period lead given up, overtime win. Another third period lead given up, and then they get the regulation win. So, like I said, small sample size, but you see the steps of improvement moving forward. And like I said, there's probably another third period lead in the season that they give up,
yeah.
And then they end up losing in overtime, or they, you know, maybe they lose in regulation. But you can see that what McClellan's trying to put in place, and I think to add to that, the opportunity that some of these young men see as becoming professional hockey players, what they've dreamed of being, they see the opportunity right in front of them.
Yeah, you've got vets and you've got some really young guys. Mm-hmm. And then you've got, on top of that, a lot of young guys in this organization who are either in rain jerseys or in college uniforms right now that are going to be up in this league soon enough. So there's a window for a lot of these players. And right now is that window for some of the guys on this team. And whether you're young or old, eventually that window is going to close. So it's always a competition. I think this year's roster is a competition more than ever.
Before the season started, we did a podcast. We said 10 questions facing the LA Kings. And one of the questions was, what's going to happen with the defense? And I specifically didn't single out any players because we had, well, I guess we did for Bjornfoot, how many games was he going to play? But the forwards.
What was your answer?
9, I think, is just the general. But for forwards, we went into, like, what's, you know, what is Adrian Kempe? Which Jeff Carter are we going to see? What becomes of Ilya Kovalchuk? Like, we got into the weeds on the forwards.
Of Ilya Kovalchuk.
That's
what we went with.
The defense was, it's Drew Doughty and Alec Martinez and a bunch of guys fighting for spots. And I want to focus in on one guy specifically right now because he was the star of the game. And I've been pumping his tires. Like, I don't like to claim
Sean
guys,
Walker.
But I'm claiming this guy because in December of last year, I had this guy as an NHL defenseman, and my God, he's an NHL defenseman.
Go back and listen to the pods.
I mean, he, if I'm not mistaken, I think he led the team in ice time tonight. I mean,
did he really?
Well, at least in even strength. I'm a little bit all over the place with my
But that still says a lot. I mean, Drew Doughty tends to play 30 minutes a game, and for him to have the confidence level of the new coaching staff to play however many minutes he did.
I'm way off.
All right, well, delete what I just said for the last 15 seconds.
26 left. Minutes for Drew Doughty, 18 minutes for Sean Walker. Didn't lead the team in ice time at all.
How was he compared to the other D?
Fourth in defense.
What the hell?
Butchered
every stat we were just
Alec Martinez together. Had 19 minutes and 49 seconds. Sean Walker had 18 minutes and 24 seconds. Doesn't matter.
Regardless,
he's one of the few guys with a plus in the plus-minus column. He's one of the few guys routinely in the positive on the fancy stat side. He looks great. He doesn't look nervous. He doesn't look young. And, you know, attention, Cale Clegg, Mikey Anderson, Chaz Redekop, Austin Strand, Daniel Brickley, like all those guys in Ontario, there might be one less spot available for you to fight for if Sean Walker keeps playing like this.
Well, he got the opportunity first for a reason, and clearly he's showing why. And for him, as you said, for him to be in the positives after what happened in Vancouver, that alone says a lot. But for him to be, well, actually today, Jesse, he was the third and the first star.
Yeah.
So not sure how that happened. But what I do want to add is he looks like he belongs. And again, small sample size and more to be determined. But again, you know, this guy, as you said, you know, he's starting to take over a little bit of what was an open area. And if he can keep solidifying that, and more importantly, looking. Okay, now I've got to look.
He's showing you the fancy stats.
Jesse's showing us fancy
They're
stats.
They're fancy, all right.
He led something in Corsi. Fancy stats.
Yeah,
Corsi in 5-on-5. Cool.
Sorry. I mean, he's been a player. He's been part of the Kings organization for, this is going on his third season now. His first season was fully in Ontario.
Yep.
And watching him there, you could tell right away, he's not a guy that jumps way far in front of everyone else as far as like his speed or his shot or his this or his that.
Yeah.
It's just that when you watch the game and you see, oh, wow, that was a good play by the defense. Oh, who is that? And it's Sean Walker. And then, now we're watching him here at Staples Center and it's 4 or 5 times a game. You look, oh, wow, that was really, oh, Sean Walker.
Yeah.
And it's just a little chip off the boards out of the zone or into the offensive zone or through the neutral zone or whatever it is. And
he just makes the right play.
He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He belongs on the team. Just as much as, well, maybe not just as much, but he belongs as part of the top 6 defensemen in the LA Kings organization, no doubt.
I mean, the right thing about him is he always makes the right play. And so far, again, small sample size. But so far you haven't seen this horrid turnover where you're like, oh my gosh, what were you thinking? Or just a dumb play or a mental, you know, lapse. It's just so far consistency and reliability.
I think today he was on the ice for the second goal that Nashville scored. And it was that weird, you know, I think it was Lewis maybe that was sprawled out and the puck flew to Campbell's right side, yeah, and left side of the street, and, you know. Yeah, and it was just sort of like, okay, Walker was on the ice, yeah, but I'm not going to blame it on him. So let's go ahead and wrap this up because we've got another game tomorrow. We're going to go ahead and do play of the game, player of the game. Jack, what was your play of the game?
Play of the game. Well, I'll give it to Iafallo. Right time, you know.
Great choice.
Right place, right time. You know, the thing is as the weak side forward going to the net, number one rule, don't go past the
net.
And he stopped in front of the net. Saros completely butchered the shot and misgloved it, and it just went right to him, and he banged it in. So, right place, right time. I'll pass it on to you.
Play of the game. I'm going to take Dustin Brown's charge through the neutral zone when he ended up making that backhand pass over to Kopitar.
Beautiful play.
For that, yeah, in the high slot, and he beat Saros short side. Just an unbelievable play. He looked up and realized if he put the burners on that he could have beat the two Nashville players that were there. Did it. Dished the puck over, and Kopitar couldn't have made a better shot.
Pretty impressive that we're still saying Brown has burners. How old is he now?
I mean, you know, he's got enough kids. They keep him young. I'm going to go with Iafallo too, mainly because I don't remember if it was the first or second period, but Jack, you leaned over to me and said, essentially, I'm going to paraphrase, like, Iafallo's got to score more.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're wrong. You know, last year I would have sort of half-heartedly defended him. His rookie year I would have violently defended him because he was – honestly, like, I think he was doing more his rookie season, right? And now
he's
sort of settled into a spot. And, you know, obviously last season was just rough. So I'm not going to judge anybody for last year. And it's early yet in this season. So we had to find out. You know, Iafallo's in a similar spot to Sean Walker where he's in his mid-20s. And there are a ton of guys behind him who are just gunning for that
waiting
spot.
For the opportunity.
And, you know, there are some guys on this roster who have 2 years between now and the Seattle expansion draft to prove that they're, you know, irreplaceable.
Yeah.
And so scoring a goal like that, especially when it happened, how it happened, will go a long way in my mind for Iafallo. So that, for me, was the play of the game. Jack, who was the player of the game?
Player of the game. Cody,
we've talked about so many. All right, I'll take your deferment because I didn't want you to steal my answer anyway. I'm going to go with Sean Walker, the easy answer.
All right.
Just
fire.
Solid. Just played the game. I think 2 assists today. Just looks like he belongs out there. He's just doing well so far.
Jesse, how about you? Since I can't come up with a good one.
Yeah, generally speaking, I don't like to like cheat and split it.
You're also looking at your phone, you cheater.
Yeah, no, I'm totally cheating. There's no question about it. Don't get me wrong. I'm also vamping right now while I scroll through my phone. So I'm just Cheater McCheaterton. I'm going to split it between Amadio and Clifford. Because...
Okay. Ah, all right.
Like, yeah.
The Amadio one's good. The Clifford one catches me by surprise. I feel like I didn't see him a whole lot.
Well, it's more like a lifetime achievement player of the game.
You've done this for how long?
I know, but he scored a goal.
He does the same thing every game.
But the point is, he does do the same thing every game. And, you know, I found myself watching the game thinking to myself, oh, you know what, Amadio, second line center? And I smacked myself on the wrist and I said, no. If he's a good fourth or third line center, great. Because we have Jared Anderson-Dolan, Rasmus Kupari, Alex Turcotte, maybe Gabe Vilardi, maybe Nikolai Prohorkin. Like, there are people in line whose ceiling is higher than Mike Amadio to take that second line center. And I don't want to start putting guys in spots just to then 6, 7, 8 months from now bump them back down. If he can center a third line or a fourth line, and look, I love that Lewis Amadio Clifford line. I love it to death. Then good, right? Fine, lovely,
all of them
wonderful.
All of your heart.
They do. I mean, look, this is a two-line team. It just happens to be the first and the fourth line that are stable.
The ever so common.
We got to figure out two or three. So that for me are the players of the game.
Yeah, I'll take Brown. I think he had a good showing. Obviously the goal and the assist that was highlighted by Cody. But at the same time, I mean, he filled the stat sheet, but he also looked good. He was around the play. Not only did he have the two goals that were empty or one empty netter and something else, But at the same time, like, he was around the net. He was had the puck. Jesse, we'll just make up that he had good Corsi stats.
He didn't, but that's all right.
Yeah, he looked fine.
I think the Corsi of my heart.
There you go. And that's what today's podcast is about. But no, I think he looked good. You know, sometimes the fancy stats don't tell everything.
Well, Christian Ehrhoff is our patron saint of lying fancy stats. Constantly dynamite Corsi, constantly on the ice for every goal against. I do, however, want to give special shout-out to Joakim Ryan. I'm not Joakim. Entirely sure. First game in the lineup, a guy that I thought was brought in to be what Ben Hutton has sort of become. And, you know, I'm not sure if Forbert hadn't been hurt that they would have signed Ben Hutton. Maybe they would have. I don't know. But he comes in and doesn't look out of place at all, plays 15 minutes, you know, and dominates, play, you know, his line. When he's on the ice, the team is dominating play. He didn't look out of place. I never once saw him and went, oh, that's why you weren't in the lineup yet. Like,
well, the whole thing is before the pod, you kind of wanted to talk about the defense, and the defense looked phenomenal. And you know, I don't know how many. What?
For the most
part. Well, yeah. No, they did. They did. They really did. You know, that little span within the, I don't know, we'll just say
34 seconds, they scored two goals. They scored the one like 2 minutes into the third, and then 34 seconds.
Okay, so beyond those. The
first half of the third period.
Yeah, we'll just say that. beyond the third period lapse, which literally was like a minute and a half and then 34 seconds in the other little lapse. They look good, and they look consistent. And as Jesse, as you just alluded to, at no point where it was anyone out of position. There were no dumb moves that costed us a goal. It was just Nashville just decided to play a little harder, and you know, it earned them goals. But then you know, LA just turned it back at them.
Right. They decided in the third period they're going to put out that road game effort and try to get back into it. And good on them, they did. But they just came up a little short.
Not good enough.
The real test, of course, will be tomorrow because, as we said last year and the year before that and the year before that, the next chapter always sort of defines the previous chapter. So tomorrow is Vegas, who, despite my preseason prediction that they would miss the playoffs, probably going to make the playoffs. the question, there are a ton of questions for tomorrow, right? Like, who starts in goal? Will we have another, back-to-back experience like we did with Calgary and Vancouver where they look dynamite and win it late one game and then give up 8-2 the next game? I mean, it's a home game, it's a night game, you know, maybe we're back on schedule. So a lot of questions to be answered tomorrow. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for listening, Kings fans. We'll talk to you soon.